Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we're going way back to the ancient Mediterranean world. To explore something that was, well, kind of like social oxygen back then, patronage and reciprocity. Our guide for this journey is a lecturer by Dr. David De Silva. He's an expert on the cultural world surrounding the New Testament. So, are you ready to uncover how these ancient ways of life might still be like subtly influencing us today?
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating how in the ancient world, personal connections were everything.
Really?
It wasn't just what you knew, it was who you knew.
Oh, interesting.
Especially if you needed, well, anything really, like a job, resources, even a good standing with the gods. It all depended on your social network.
Wow, that's so different from how we operate now.
Right.
Can you imagine having to rely on personal connections for almost every need instead of like banks or the internet?
Exactly. And that's where patronage comes in. It was this intricate system. Well, we're talking about patrons, the folks who provided resources and favors. And then you had the clients, those receiving them, and even mediators, kind of like brokers who connected them. It was this amazing web of interdependence, crucial for navigating ancient society.
Okay. So if someone was like a client to a more powerful person, but also a patron to someone below them, wouldn't that get super complicated?
Yeah, it definitely could. Your position in the system wasn't fixed.
And what kinds of things would be exchanged besides, money or goods?
Oh, so much more. Think social or political backing, access to knowledge, even protection from rivals. It was a complex system.
So, like a whole web of favors and obligations.
Exactly. It's like think of the opening scene of The Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
People approach Don Corleone for favors,
Yeah.
right? But it's with the understanding that they might need to return the favor someday.
Now that you mention it, Don Corleone's line, "Someday, and that day may never come, but until that day, accept this justice from me." It makes so much more sense. It's not just about the transaction, it's about that unspoken promise of future reciprocity.
Precisely. And that leads us to a really important concept, grace, or charis in Greek.
Grace. I usually think of that in like a, religious sense.
Right, but back then it had a much broader meaning.
Okay, so not just divine blessings. What did grace mean to them?
Well, charis actually had four distinct meanings. You had charm, the willingness to give a favor, the gift itself, and then the gratitude for that gift.
Wow, that's interesting.
It was woven into their daily lives and, social interactions.
So understanding that broader context really changes how we interpret grace in the New Testament,
It
right?
definitely does. Dr. De Silva brings up a fascinating visual representation of this whole cycle, the three graces.
The three graces.
Yeah, picture this. Three women, all gracefully intertwined, symbolizing that constant flow of giving, receiving, and returning favors. That was grace in action for the ancients.
That's a powerful image. So, like, they're this beautifully choreographed dance representing the balance of social exchange.
Precisely. And the philosopher Seneca, he interpreted this imagery as, as a reminder of that constant exchange of goodwill and obligation. It wasn't just about receiving something good. It
Wow.
also came with a sacred obligation to reciprocate, to keep that social fabric strong.
So what happened when someone didn't hold up their end of the bargain? Like, what were the consequences if you were ungrateful?
That's where things get interesting. Ingratitude, well, that was considered a serious offense, a violation of this sacred bond. Seneca went as far as to say, that failing to return gratitude was a disgrace condemned by the whole world.
So not just being rude, almost sacrilegious.
Exactly. Gratitude was essential for maintaining harmony and, ensuring future sport. It wasn't just optional. It was the glue that held everything together.
Okay, so we've got this complex web of patronage, reciprocity, and grace. But where do faith and loyalty fit into this? They seem like, more internal qualities.
That's a great point. Just like grace, the words faith and loyalty held a much larger meaning in the ancient world. Pistis, that's faith in Greek. It went beyond just religious belief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in this context, faith meant trusting in your patron's reliability and being a dependable client yourself.
Ah, I see.
It was about demonstrating steadfast loyalty, even if it came at a personal cost.
Wow, so it's not just believing in something, it's living it out through your actions and commitment to those relationships.
Precisely. And when you think about it like that, those New Testament passages about faith and loyalty, take on a whole new dimension.
Absolutely. They're suddenly grounded in this real, practical, social context.
And, you know, there's a perfect example of all these concepts in action in the Bible.
Oh.
It's the story of Jesus healing the centurion servant. You can find it in Luke 7.
Oh, that story always stands out to me. It's fascinating to see a Roman centurion, a figure of authority, you know, seeking help from Jesus.
Right? It's incredible. The centurion, he approaches Jesus through Jewish elders.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they vouch for his generosity to the community. He'd even built them a synagogue.
Wow.
So they're returning a favor by, you know, highlighting his worthiness to receive this healing.
It's a perfect example of brokerage at work.
Exactly. They're the intermediaries, bridging the gap between the centurion and Jesus.
Okay.
And then the centurion demonstrates this incredible faith. He says to Jesus, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed."
Powerful words.
Right. He recognizes Jesus' authority, trusts in his power to heal, even from a distance. It's like he understands that Jesus has a different kind of authority, a spiritual authority that transcends physical presence.
It's like the centurion used to giving orders and having them followed. He just gets it. He gets that Jesus has this power to command healing with a word.
It's a profound understanding of faith.
Huh.
And, well, Jesus is amazed by this display, commenting that he hasn't found such faith even in Israel.
So a story about healing that's really about so much more. Patronage, brokerage, gratitude, and faith all intertwined.
It really highlights how central these social dynamics were to their worldview.
It's mind-blowing. This deep dive is making me rethink how we view faith today. It often feels so disconnected from our daily lives, you know?
Yeah.
But in the ancient world, it was interwoven with those social obligations and tangible actions.
It's true. Faith pistit wasn't just a belief system, it was a way of life.
So when we read about faith in the New Testament, we need to remember that broader context. It's not just about believing certain doctrines, it's about actively demonstrating that belief in our actions, our relationships, our choices.
That's a fantastic point. It's about, you know, bringing faith to life in a tangible way, just as they did in the ancient world.
It brings us right back to the core of our deep dive, patronage and reciprocity.
Mm.
These weren't just ideas. They were the bedrock of ancient Mediterranean society.
It's amazing how much this system shaped their entire worldview.
And it influenced everything. Daily interactions, relationships with the gods, even their religious beliefs.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait, are you saying they saw their relationship with the gods like as a patron-client relationship?
In a way, yeah. They viewed the gods as the ultimate patrons, providers of things like rain, good harvests, and protection.
Right.
And in return, people offered sacrifices, prayers, worship as expressions of gratitude.
So it's like this cosmic version of give and take. You give to the gods and they give back.
Exactly. And even in their religion, brokerage was essential. Priests were seen as mediators between humans and the gods.
So they're like the ultimate divine connectors, helping people navigate the complexities of, well, the spiritual realm. And get those blessings.
You could say that. You know, the word pontifex, the Latin word for priest, literally means bridge builder.
Wow, really?
They bridge that gap between humanity and the divine.
That's incredible. It shows just how important these intermediaries were in ancient society. They had the knowledge and connections to navigate those complex systems.
Exactly. And it leads us to another fascinating aspect.
Yeah.
The blurring of lines between, you know, divine and human patrons.
What do you mean?
Well, especially in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, we see this rise of emperor worship.
Wait, so emperors were being elevated to, like, god level. That's a pretty bold move.
It was, but think about it. People saw emperors as these powerful figures, bringing peace and prosperity to the empire. They seemed worthy of divine honors.
But didn't Roman religion have that whole "I give so that you will give" principle? It seems like a pretty transactional view of the divine.
That's a common misconception. While that element was there, there was also a strong sense of, I give because you have given. It wasn't just about trying to bribe the gods. It was about recognizing and honoring the gifts they had already bestowed.
So more about gratitude and acknowledging their role in your life, not just what you could get from them.
Precisely. Gratitude lies at the heart of patronage and reciprocity. It's about giving back, keeping things in balance, and honoring that bond between patron and client. Makes you wonder, has our modern world, with its emphasis on, well, individual rights and self-sufficiency, lost something valuable?
That's a really interesting point. The ancient system, with all its complexities, really emphasized community, interdependence, and acknowledging our debts to others.
Absolutely. It raises some important questions about what values we prioritize today and how they shape our interactions.
This deep dive is amazing. We're not just learning about the past, we're being challenged to think about the present, too. It's like we're seeing how these ancient dynamics might still be influencing us, even if it's in subtler ways.
That's the beauty of exploring these ancient systems. It's not just about history, it's about understanding ourselves and the world around us better.
Exactly. It's not just about knowledge, it's about applying those insights to understand our own experiences and relationships.
And speaking of relationships, we've mainly focused on, you know, the social and religious aspects of this whole patronage and reciprocity thing. But it's important to remember that it wasn't a perfect system.
Right.
There were definitely flaws and potential for abuse.
It's easy to romanticize the past, but we need to be realistic about those power imbalances that were inherent in the system.
Yeah, not everyone benefited equally.
Right.
The patron-client relationship could become very one-sided, with patrons, you know, using their power to manipulate or exploit their clients. And it wasn't just limited to individual relationships.
Oh, I see.
The entire system could be used to reinforce social hierarchies and, well, maintain the status quo.
So a reminder that even seemingly beneficial systems can be corrupted and abused.
It's a crucial point. We need to look beyond the, you know, the idealized version and consider the real-world consequences for everyone involved. A balanced perspective is essential.
We can appreciate the positive aspects, the community, the interdependence, the gratitude, but we also need to be aware of the potential downsides.
Exactly. Understanding both the historical context and the complexities of the system, both the good and the bad, is key.
That's a great takeaway. We can learn so much from history, both its successes and its failures, as we, you know, try to build systems and relationships that are just and fair.
That's a fantastic point. Learning from the past can help us build a better future.
It's amazing how these ancient ideas can still resonate today.
Right.
We might not have formal systems of patronage anymore, but those dynamics of power and influence and reciprocity, they're still present in our relationships and institutions, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's like we're always navigating these webs of relationships.
Think about it. Networking for a job, looking for a mentor, even just relying on your friends for support. These are all echoes of that ancient system.
They are. And it makes you look at your closest friendships in a new light, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's that element of give and take, supporting each other through the ups and downs. Maybe it's not always perfectly balanced, but there's this understanding that, you know, you're in it together.
Yeah, that sense of mutual obligation and support, it's at the core of so many relationships. We're not just individuals out there on our own. We're part of a web of connections. And those connections shape who we are and how we experience the world.
And recognizing those subtle dynamics, those unspoken expectations, it helps us interact with each other more mindfully, even in our modern world.
You know, I'm struck by how this ancient system, despite how complex it was, seemed to bring a certain level of social stability. It created this framework for mutual support and accountability.
That's a really important point. When it was working well, the patron-client relationship was a safety net. It was a way to make sure people didn't fall through the cracks, especially in a world without social welfare programs or, you know, government assistance.
This whole deep dive is making me think about the role of community in our lives. It's easy to get caught up in our own pursuits, but we're not alone in this journey, are we? Our well-being is tied to the well-being of others.
That's beautifully said.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one of the most powerful lessons we can take from all this. The importance of recognizing our shared humanity. You know, and fostering a spirit of support and gratitude.
That's a powerful reminder that even these ancient social systems can offer timeless wisdom about human connection and community. And it makes you wonder, how can we cultivate more reciprocity in our lives, in our communities? How can we acknowledge and appreciate those who have supported us? And how can we build systems that foster care and support, ensuring that everyone has a chance to thrive?
Those are great questions to consider as we continue our deep dive. Stay tuned for more insights as we explore the world of patronage and reciprocity in the ancient Mediterranean.
You know, as we go deeper into this ancient world, it's really striking how important gratitude was to them. It wasn't just about being polite. It was like a major social obligation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Gratitude was essential for that whole patron-client relationship to work smoothly. Remember Seneca, that Roman philosopher?
Yeah.
He actually said that failing to return gratitude was like a disgrace condemned by the entire world.
Wow. So it wasn't just rude. It was practically like a social crime. It makes you wonder if our modern focus on individual achievement has made us lose sight of how powerful gratitude can be.
That's a great point. Maybe we could all learn a thing or two from the ancients about acknowledging how interconnected we are and how much we rely on each other. Expressing gratitude more openly could actually make our social bond stronger.
And it all goes back to those three graces we talked about. That visual of giving and receiving and giving back. It's like gratitude is the oil that keeps that whole cycle running.
It's a beautiful image, isn't it? It really shows how grace, in that ancient sense, wasn't just about receiving a gift, but also about recognizing that you need to give back. Keep that generosity flowing.
Right. It's like a reminder that those small acts of kindness, they really can create ripples. When we express gratitude, we're acknowledging the impact someone has had on us, and that might inspire them to do the same for someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of impacts, let's take a look at the other side of this. As much as this system had positive aspects, we can't ignore the potential for abuse, especially with those power dynamics in the patron-client relationship.
You're right. It's easy to romanticize things, but we have to be honest about the fact that not everyone benefited equally.
Exactly. Imagine being a client who feels obligated to do whatever their patron asks, even if it's something harmful. The power dynamics could be very easily exploited.
And it goes beyond individuals, right? The whole system could be used to reinforce those social hierarchies and keep things the way they are, making it hard for people to, move up or challenge the status quo.
That is a crucial point. It might have seemed benevolent on the surface, but this system could be used to silence dissent and hold on to power. It's a good reminder that any system, even the ones that seem good, can be twisted and abused. We have to be aware of that.
It's like that saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It seems like no system can escape the potential for manipulation.
You're absolutely right. That's why it's so important to look at any system, whether it's ancient or modern, with a critical eye. We need to recognize that there's potential for both good and bad and work to create structures that are fair for everyone.
Speaking of looking at things critically, let's go back to the story of Jesus and the centurion for a second. It's really interesting how this whole patronage and reciprocity thing played out across different cultures and social boundaries.
And it's such a remarkable story.
Yeah.
You have this Roman centurion, a symbol of Roman power and authority. And he humbles himself before Jesus, a Jewish teacher, to ask for healing for his servant.
And what's even more interesting is that the centurion goes to Jesus through those Jewish elders. He knew how important intermediaries were and how to work within those social customs.
It's brokerage at its finest.
Uh-huh.
And the elders, they vouch for the centurion's character. They tell Jesus about how generous he's been to their community, how he even built them a synagogue. They're basically repaying him for that favor.
Right.
And then the centurion shows this amazing faith. He tells Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. It's like he understands that Jesus has this different kind of authority, a spiritual authority that goes beyond physical limitations.
Yeah, the centurion is used to giving orders and having people obey. It's like he intuitively understands that Jesus can command healing with just his words. He recognizes that there's a similar power dynamic, but in the spiritual realm.
Exactly. And Jesus is clearly moved by that faith. He even says that he hasn't seen such strong belief even among his own people. It's this amazing moment of connection between two different cultures and two very different people.
It really shows how those ancient social dynamics, while they were part of a specific time and place, could also go beyond those boundaries. It's about human connection at its core.
Absolutely. As we're learning more about this system of patronage and reciprocity, we're seeing how complicated it was with both good and bad aspects, and how it still influences how humans interact even today. It's a reminder that no matter how much the world changes, some things stay the same.
It seems like those questions about power and influence and how we treat each other, they keep coming up no matter what the time period or culture is.
You're exactly right. And as we move forward in this deep dive, it'll be fascinating to see how these themes continue to emerge.
Welcome back, Deep Divers. It's time to wrap up our exploration of patronage and reciprocity in the ancient Mediterranean world. But even as we're finishing up, the insights just keep coming.
They really do. It's amazing how much these ancient dynamics still feel relevant even today. We may not have official patrons and clients anymore.
Right.
But just think about how much we depend on networks and connections in our own lives.
That's so true. Like networking to find a job or trying to find good mentors, even just leaning on our friends and family for support. It's all kind of like a modern version of those ancient systems.
I think you've hit on something really important. Some of those basic human needs and ways of interacting, they seem to transcend time and culture. We still crave connection and belonging and that sense of community. Mm. And even though the way we do things has changed those core ideas of reciprocity and supporting each other, they're still there deep down.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive, what are some of the big takeaways we can apply to our own lives today?
Well, one of the most important things to remember is that we're not just isolated individuals out there on our own. We're all part of this bigger web of relationships. And those relationships have a huge impact on our lives.
I love that. It's a good reminder that we're all connected and that taking care of each other is important.
Exactly. And our actions, they have ripple effects. Even small acts of kindness and support can make a real difference.
Speaking of interconnectedness, it seems like gratitude was a major part of keeping those social bonds strong back in ancient times.
Oh, absolutely. Gratitude wasn't just a polite thing to do. It was like social currency. It helped strengthen relationships and ensured that support would continue. You know, Seneca actually believed that not returning gratitude was like a crime against the whole world.
Wow. They really put a lot of emphasis on gratitude. It makes you wonder if we've lost something important in our modern world, where we often focus so much on individual success and being self-sufficient.
I think you're right. We could all benefit from rediscovering that power of gratitude, both expressing it to others and feeling it ourselves. It's not just about saying thank you. It's about truly recognizing and appreciating all the ways people contribute to our lives.
Gratitude can be such a powerful force. It can change our perspective and help us focus on the good even when things are tough. And it often inspires us to do good things for others, which creates this positive chain reaction that benefits everyone.
It's like that image of the three graces we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, the continuous flow of giving and receiving and giving back. Gratitude was what kept that cycle moving.
It's a great analogy. It reminds us that we're all part of this intricate dance of connection and that even those little acts of kindness and appreciation can make a difference.
Exactly. And as we're looking back at this ancient system of patronage and reciprocity, it's important to be honest about both the good and the bad. Just like any system, it wasn't perfect.
Right. We can appreciate those values of community and helping each other, but we also need to remember that the power dynamics in the patron-client relationship could be a problem.
You're right. There was always a danger of people taking advantage of that power. Patrons could use their influence to manipulate or control their clients. And on a bigger scale, the whole system could be used to keep those in power, and make it really hard for others to get ahead or challenge the way things were.
It's a good reminder that even systems that seem good on the surface can have problems. We always have to be working towards making things more fair and just for everyone.
Absolutely. By learning about the good and the bad of these systems from the past, we can try to build a better future where everyone has a chance to succeed.
This deep dive has been such an amazing journey. We've explored an ancient social system, but also learned some timeless truths about human nature and the way we connect with each other.
We've seen how powerful connection and gratitude are, and how much we all need community. These are ideas that can really change the way we live and help us create more positive and supportive relationships.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I encourage everyone listening to think about these things. How can we bring more reciprocity and gratitude into our own lives?
Those are great questions to ponder. It's been a real pleasure exploring all of this with you and our listeners. And just remember, even though this deep dive is over, the journey of discovery never really ends. Keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep exploring the world around you.